Welcome back to another season of the Lead with Data podcast. I cannot wait to share the stories and discussions that I'll be having with some exceptional data leaders. But before we dive into the fascinating discussions lined up for this season, I wanted to take a moment to express my sincerest gratitude to each and every one of you, our loyal supporters and listeners. Your feedback, engagement, and enthusiasm are really what makes this show truly worthwhile. Throughout our journey so far, we've had the privilege of hosting a diverse range of data guests, with a focus on particular themes for each season. This season, we're shaking things up a bit. We will be having discussions across a range of topics from data transformation, career journeys, AI, and technology, with visionaries who are shaping the future of data-driven decision-making for some of Australia's fast-growing or largest organisations. I'm confident you'll find the discussions insightful and have some valuable takeaways and maybe even a few ahas along the way. If you're not already a subscriber, please hit that subscribe button. Our subscribers is what makes the show bigger and get a much wider reach. Welcome back to another episode of the Lead with Data podcast. Today, we're delving into the dynamic world of real-time analytics. In an era where data moves fast, organizations are leveraging real-time insights to drive value and stay ahead. My guest on the show today has over two decades of experience spearheading innovative approaches to leveraging data. In our discussion, we're going to explore strategies, challenges, and opportunities of how to drive real-time analytics. So first of all, I'm going to introduce our guest. Thank you for joining me on the show, Andre.
Thanks very much for having me, Raina. That's a hell of an introduction. I'll do my best to live up to it.
I'll get you to, first of all, start off and give the listeners a bit of an introduction to your background, because I've certainly had a look and I think it's really interesting. So I'd love for you to share your background and where you're at now.
So my name's Andre Eason. Currently, I'm the head of risk and pricing data science at Sportsbet. Look, I'll give a bit of background on Sportsbet overall. I think probably a lot of your listeners would have heard of us. We certainly do our share of marketing around Australia. So we're Australia's leading digital sports betting firm, I suppose, is the most apt description. So my role there, I lead a team that does risk and pricing. The pricing side, a lot of our complex betting products, so if you ever have a bet on something like a same game multi or a same race multi or about wireless sport is being played, that's likely going to be driven by an algorithm that someone in my team has helped with. Then on the risk side, it's really around helping the business understand, quantify, and improve decision-making around risk in various guises, whether that's risk around particular events or around customers. The sports bet overall, though, we employ data science in a variety of different ways. So I'm the head of risk and pricing data science. We also have a customer personalization and safer gambling data science stream. And then we also have a customer and marketing data science stream. Then we work very closely with data engineering teams and with an MLOps team that's been spun up quite recently. So, you know, there's a lot of data touch points throughout Sportsbet. For me personally, I've been at Sportsbet for about eight and a half years or so at this point, actually coming up on 9 years now, I guess. I started on the tools in a hands-on role, helping build the first same game multi product that we did. And that really is probably still very much a career high for me in terms of being able to be the role that I played being very impactful, I suppose, for a business. And it's still something today, the sport we were looking at back then, the first sport that we did was AFL. So it's still something that I get a big kick of, you know, anytime I go to the footy, can kind of overhear people or my own mates kind of talking about the bets that they're putting on and, you know, knowing the role that I was able to play in helping bring that product to life, which is something that's been used by literally millions of customers by now. It's been in the market for 6 or 7 years. So I started in on the tools role, and it was probably that particular project, what was still very impactful for sports, but today, but one of the things that it helped us realize was, listeners may not know, Sportsbet is part of a global conglomerate called the Flutter Group, where we have brands in lots of different geographies across the world and headquartered in Dublin. At that point in time, Sportsbet was probably quite reliant on our head office to provide a lot of our betting product, a lot of our back-end product as well. So we had a very heavy reliance on Dublin to provide technical leadership or technical assistance across a lot of our product offering. That product was probably one of the first ones that made us realize in the betting product space in particular the needs and desires of our customer base, you know, I probably tend to think about a successful product or data product more specifically as being something that fits snugly into the intersection of something that's all three of desirable, feasible, and viable. And what that means in Australia is quite different to what it maybe means in London or Ireland, and certainly, you know, in our other geographies, America probably being the most notable one today. So the fact that we're looking to do something quite different, you know, meant that we sort of needed to stand on our own 2 feet a little bit more. And so partially off the back of the success of that product, you know, at the time I was managing one junior team member, we've grown out our team here to, I think I've got 12 or 13 in the risk and pricing space. Data science overall has grown to, we've got 30 something in the space overall. I've had remit for different teams over the course of that journey. But really, you know, for myself, if you like sports and you like numbers and you like building innovative products, you know, my role is really kind of where my heart is with the organisation. So I'm very happy. Yeah, very happy to continue doing that. You know, outside of working with a team, you're not really going to get the opportunity to focus on looking at sports data in any other kind of role in the same way that myself and my team get to. So that's something that I really find a privilege.
Excellent. And look, I think that's really exciting. And I think when you talk about your tenure there, technology and opportunities would have come up just with the change of technology over that time period, which would have made it even more exciting. So thank you so much for giving us a overview of your background, Andre. I suppose in line with the topic that we're going to sort of discuss a bit more today, in your own words, how would you define real-time analytics?
There's probably a lot of different definitions you could think of. Really, what I think about of real-time analytics, or more, I suppose specifically the difference between real-time versus general analytics, is using analytics to power anything where a low latency decision, where a decision close to real-time is going to be beneficial in whatever sense that may be, whether that's serving a real-time offering to a customer, or whether it's a more back office task, a lot of the stuff that we may do, whether it's making a decision about risk in real time, and that risk could relate to financial risk, it could relate to system risk, you know, i.e. something where you need to know that your server may be getting overheated or whatever it might be, where you need to spin up something new in the cloud, you know, in order to enable you to continue driving a high quality service offering. So really just anything where making a real-time decision is going to be more impactful. That's really what I think of with real-time analytics and how you can use data in order to drive that real-time decision-making.
Thank you. In your opinion, what strategies do you believe are effective in driving customer value through the development of real-time analytics?
What I think is really key is being use case driven. So it's not about just doing something because you can, because there's technology that allows you to do it. But really, you want to do it because it's something that customers want and it's going to be able to, you know, ultimately deliver a return on investment. Now, the way you think about return on investment, I think, and this is true across any sort of product sphere, the way you think about return on investment has to be broad. It's not necessarily just about, you know, well, we've provided this product and we've had a certain amount of turnover, or it's generated a certain number of sales. You know, having that real-time product offering, if it becomes a reason why customers choose to use your offering rather than one of your competitors, you know, that's that sort of share of wallet play can be something that's a bit harder to measure. So I think you do have to think quite broadly about it. But ultimately, it's about, well, what's something that's going to drive choice. And I think that's as true when you're talking about real-time analytics as it really is when you're talking about product development in any other sense.
Excellent. And given that data accuracy and integrity is quite crucial when it comes to real-time analytics, with organizations that have multiple data sources, what's your recommendation in terms of how they maintain this accuracy and integrity?
Sure, that's a great question. I think, again, this is probably going to be a theme I'll keep coming back to. It's really important to consider use cases. Data scientists can work with a tech team to do all sorts of backtesting and validation, but that really doesn't amount to much if they don't test the impact of the specific pain points that customers are going to feel if there are data issues, whether that's missing data, data revisions, or high latency. So I think your starting point there is a high-quality, immutable data source with appropriate metadata, including timestamps. Challenge there is how you marry that up with the other data and tech you'll need to drive the experience you're looking to power for customers. But I think you know, that's kind of getting into the weeds, thinking high level, what's really important in this space, especially if you, you know, if you're either in a startup environment or an organization that's thinking about what their potential use cases could be around real-time analytics, is to think about, well, your first decision really is buy versus build. Do we look to build out our own infrastructure, or do we look to partner with appropriate providers? You know, this is something where the landscape has certainly shifted a lot over the last, pick any period of time, but really, I suppose, over the last 5 years or so. We're very fortunate in that sports betting that we partner with a range of providers, probably chief amongst them being AWS and Databricks in our space. So really getting a sense of what products are going to be available to help make sure that, you know, whatever you're looking to do, you're going to be able to do it in a way that's going to be robust enough to drive that experience that you want to drive for your customers.
Yeah. And are there any particular platforms or components that you think are essential when organizations or teams are looking to build or drive real-time analytics? Are there any key kind of foundations and components that are essential?
I think I probably tend to start by thinking about this from the point of view of, you know, it's not just about getting your technology right, it's about getting your people right, your processes right, and your technology right. So having at least a sketch of what your what your potential operating model could look like in terms of people and process, and getting those roles and responsibilities right is probably the first thing that I would think about. More specifically, in terms of the platforms, you know, to think about, all right, well, what do you need to do in order to be confident that whatever use case you're looking to drive with your real-time analytics is going to work the way that you want it to? Having an effective data warehousing strategy. There's obviously a lot of cloud providers out there now, as I say, like Sportsbet, we partner with Databricks and AWS, but there are lots of others. But really to think about what you need that to facilitate. I talked earlier about immutable data sources for anyone for whom that term is not so familiar. Immutability essentially meaning making sure that you capture the data that you're capturing in real time is reflected. So which is really essential to making sure that whether it's a model or whatever the system is that you're looking to set up, having an immutable data source with appropriate metadata, so whether that's timestamps or whatever else, with appropriate metadata around it is going to facilitate making sure that, you know, whatever backtesting you want to do, whatever testing you want to do in kind of an offline or a development environment, the outcomes that you're going to get from that are going to be reflective of the experience you're going to be able to provide to customers when you do that in real time. So I think that kind of question of immutability is probably the first key thing. And as I say, there's a lot of data warehouse providers. A lot of streaming data providers as well. So whether that's technologies like Kafka, et cetera, that you can leverage to ensure that whatever you're looking to set up, you're going to be able to trust that once you put it into production, it's going to work the way that it should.
Yeah. And the reason why I asked that question was I think real-time analytics has become somewhat a buzzword and everyone feels that they need to be doing it or they would like to do it, but quite often you've got to make sure that you're ready for it and your environment's ready for it. Hence why I sort of wanted to ask that question, which leads me on to probably my next sort of question in terms of the pros and cons of implementing real-time analytics. Because from my limited understanding of the data world, I know in some organizations it's possible and it can work really, really well. And in others, it doesn't necessarily fit their setup or the organization. So if I were to ask you to maybe just give us some of the pros and cons of implementing real-time analytics in a business context, what would some of those be?
I think it all comes down to, well, what are your customers looking to see, or what are the decisions that you're looking to drive? There's a lot of decisions that I think there's, you know, very significant upside in making those decisions in real time. And then there are other decisions where, you know, that's not quite as important. I suppose anyone that really thinking about using data in any organization, I probably always tend to go back to the six dimensions of data quality, which I realize as we're talking, I should probably be able to reel off, but I can't. But, you know, timeliness certainly being one of them, but how important timeliness is obviously depends on the context of what that decision is that you're looking to drive. So to really think about, like, what's the uplift that you're going to get from being able to provide that real-time experience versus being able to provide an experience that's, you know, that's a particular example in my own world So we have a product called Tracker now that we attach to our Same Game Multi product, which essentially allows a customer to be able to track the progress of their own bet over the course of a match. So say if you take, for example, on the day we're filming this, St Kilda's playing Collingwood tonight. If you have a customer that wants to back Collingwood to win the game and they want to back, say, Josh Dacos to kick two goals and still side bottom to get 25 disposals, if they want to check in on how their bet's going at quarter time or say at some point during the first quarter, for them to be able to see, all right, well, Collingwood's 3 points in front, side bottom's had three disposals and Dacos has already kicked a goal. That gives them like really valuable context in terms of being able to understand how their particular bet is tracking. You know, our overarching, I suppose, value statement for a sports bet that we want to do, we consider ourselves an iconic Aussie brand that's going to bring excitement to life to customers for generations. That really key point there about bringing excitement to life, that's what we're looking to provide through that betting experience and being able to do that in real time so that a customer who's either at the ground or watching it on TV can be able to, you know, really see in real time, okay, I can get a sense of how my bet is tracking because I've got all of those real-time analytics right there. That's a really valuable experience for our customers. So that's really something that we're looking to provide. And you know, you can certainly think of parallels in a lot of other settings. You know, to think about any sort of share trading platform would be another example where it's really important to be able to provide that real-time information. But then, you know, I think there are a lot of other platforms where that investment in the real-time analytics is probably not going to provide anywhere near a significant and uplifting customer experience. And then that really turns into decision-making about opportunity costs. You know, the time and resource that you spend investing in providing that real-time experience. Well, if you could better invest that time and resources elsewhere, that's really what should be driving your decision-making. So it's really about what you're looking to achieve and how much uplift you're going to be able to get from providing that experience in real time or close to real time compared to, you know, providing a similar experience but somewhat more delayed.
Yeah. And on that topic, how does one or an organization measure the success of real-time analytics initiatives when they're starting out their journey? What sort of metrics do you think organizations could use to evaluate that?
Yeah, that's especially in a competitive environment such as our own. There's only so much insight you can glean from your traditional, I suppose, product tracking type metrics, whether that's, you know, customers on site or active customers or customers who are engaging with the product. Ultimately, you're thinking about what's going to drive your decision making is around improving your position in a market overall. So being able to try to glean that, we along with other organisations would use, and this is not particularly different for real time analytics compared to any other sort of product offering. I suppose we glean what we can from various data sets that relate to, well, both competitive performance as well as the overall macroeconomic situation, which in a category such as ours is probably going to be the single biggest driver of our highs and lows. But then otherwise, like the most important thing, and again, this is true for any product, talk to your customers, whether that's via focus groups, whether that's via surveys, whether that's via, you know, really via chatting to people down the pub, like whatever mechanism you can, really trying to get a sense of understanding of the benefit that people are gaining from that product. And again, I'll probably something I come back to quite often is thinking about the product management lifecycle, being willing to accept failure. Not every idea is going to be a good idea, and that's fine. You have to throw a lot of darts to hit a bullseye sometimes. And so being willing to at times, you know, make that hard decision to say, okay, well, no matter how much we've invested in this product, again, whether it's driven by real-time analytics or not, customers aren't engaging with it in the same way that we are. The resources that we'd have to continue to invest to maintain it could be better spent elsewhere. So being willing to make that hard decision at times to wrap something up that's not only delivering value.
Yep. And with real-time analytics and use cases, because I know you talk a lot about that, and that's got to form, I suppose, the core part of when you're setting up these analytics in an environment. So on that note, what steps do you recommend organisations take to ensure that their real-time analytics use cases are adopted and implemented effectively to ensure that they work?
The key here is all about preparation and your game planning, you know, making sure that there are minimising the number of unknowns, I suppose, is how I'd characterise it. a lot of times I think you can probably consider similar product offerings, whether it's your own product offering or whether it's your competitors, whether it's in your own market or slightly different markets, and to really try to get a sense of how well they've landed. But always keeping in mind that the execution is really important. You can have two ideas that are very similar, but if one of them is executed significantly better than the other, you may get very different outcomes. So, and to an extent, that's kind of where the rubber hits the road, and that's probably something that's hard to measure until you actually go ahead and do it. And you know, in that kind of a case, well, yeah, you have to sort of back your judgment in, but sort of follow that up with very appropriate sort of product tracking metrics. Google Analytics is one that we use, for example, to help us really get a sense of, okay, we've designed a product in a certain way because we imagine our customer journeys are going to play out a certain way, but you can really use that data to validate if it is working the way it should. You can do some of that ahead of time through say focus groups and beta testing. In reality, sometimes you have to sort of put a product to market to really get that sense. The other kind of approach that I would think of where you don't necessarily have examples to draw on, you haven't done something similar in the past, you don't have a competitor or someone in a similar industry that's done something in the past, but you have an idea that you really believe in and you believe that although no one's done it before, you're going to be able to do something that you think is really going to be beneficial for your customers, whoever those may be. But I've probably got an example here from Sportsbet's recent experience. We've recently launched a product or a model that we call real-time intervention. It's essentially a real-time approach to help us pick up on customers who are showing potential of engaging in gambling that's getting to a point where it may not be sustainable for that customer, and being able to do so in real time based on that customer's own specific previous usage patterns with our app, whether that's how many bets they're placing or how much money they're depositing or how much time they're spending on site. And then I think really in those kind of cases, again, it really does come down to backing your judgment. And I think you probably can't overstate the importance in that case of your domain expertise and really understanding who your customers are. Now, as analytics professionals, that's really important. But what I think is probably even more important there is making sure that it's not kind of an analytics team that's kind of going out on their own and trying to drive these sort of products. Or the delivery of these sort of products, making sure that we're working really closely with our commercial stakeholders across the business to ensure that what we're delivering is as closely aligned with the view of what's going to actually drive value for customers as closely as possible.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head there, Andre, where you mentioned it's really about working with the commercial team and the stakeholders, because often as data professionals and being passionate in this field, it's very easy to get carried away and build and develop all these models and then kind of you face that resistance. So I think it's really important that that's the starting point of you know, the planning and the preparation and the discussions and making sure that they're involved in what you're looking to build and develop to ensure that it does sort of align. And I think that's the important message out there, is if you're looking to implement real-time analytics, is to get those individuals and functions involved where it's going to have that impact so that you're taking them on the journey as opposed to going, hey, this is how we're going to now analyze the data.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, Rita. It's, you know, I think to find people that can build highly complex technical models is not to say that it's easy, but there are plenty of people out there that can do that. The ones that really drive value, though, are the ones that are very focused on making sure that it's not about the quality of the model is measured by the quality of the outcomes that the model drives, not driven by your technical, whether it's, you know, your F1 stats or your accuracy or whatever else. It's making sure that it's actually used and having those people that are very outcome focused, the type of people that get as frustrated as possible by it. If you build a model and it sits on the shelf, business wants to use it, that's not kind of a good outcome for anybody. So you want to make sure that you're finding people that are really passionate about making sure that what they do is driving value, isn't just technically interesting work.
Yeah. Now, data governance, we know, is a key part of every aspect of the data journey, capability and uplift. Where does data governance play a role when it comes to real-time analytics, and what's the importance of ensuring that you have that in place?
I mean, to think about the experience that I described earlier with our tracker product, if a customer had bet on a player to score two goals and our tracker was saying he'd already scored those two goals, but in reality, he'd only scored one. At the end of the game, when that bet settled as a loser, that's going to be about the most negative customer experience that customer can have. Or alternately, even more importantly, in that real-time intervention example that I gave earlier, if we purport to be able to identify customers who are potentially at risk of problem gambling, but the data that's feeding through to that model isn't accurate enough, that's going to seriously inhibit our ability to do so. We have customer first and last as one of our core values. So if we don't get it right and we can't kind of provide that level of protection to customers, that's going to be, well, it's going to do damage to us as a brand, but much more importantly, that's going to lead to negative outcomes for our customers, which is really what we're looking to avoid. So we very much keep those considerations front and center. Look, I suppose what I'd have to say, it's a journey of evolution. It's certainly been a journey of evolution. I've certainly learned a lot in this space over the last 3 or 4 years, and I think Sportsbet as a whole has as well. We're very fortunate at Sportsbet in that it's quite a mature business. We have a well-established data engineering team. We're still growing our ML ops or more generally, I suppose, our model ops frameworks too, in order to provide the way we think about it, I suppose, both offense, in terms of being able to get products to market quickly, but really importantly, defense in terms of being able to make sure that we get our governance right, make sure that we, a product that's fit for purpose today continues to be fit for purpose tomorrow across all of the dimensions that may entail. I think that the starting point that I talked through earlier around that immutability of data sources, I think is really key, but the quality of your data is a key enabler, but what I think really what matters more than anything is that real critical thinking mindset, that putting in that deep thought about what potentially could go wrong before you start thinking about what are the appropriate safeguards that you need to put in place. Tools like data dictionaries, data lineage to make sure that users have the correct understanding of the data that they're working with are really key. But that all really starts with that critical thinking mindset.
Yeah. So ensuring that you've got good data governance practices in place is obviously a very essential part of making sure that you have that set up correctly before you start your journey in real-time analytics.
Yeah, that's right. If you don't kind of get those basics right, no matter how good your ideas are, you're always going to be running a very unacceptable level of risk. That the outcomes are not going to be in line with what you're hoping, and both sort of commercially and for your customers, that can lead to very poor outcomes.
Yeah, I think we've talked about a few things there which would come under the best practices based on the question I'm going to ask you next. But are there any lessons or best practices that you would recommend for organisations looking to embark on this or improve their real-time analytics journey that you've maybe learned across your time in developing this capability?
Yeah, look, that's a great question. I think, for myself and my team, a lot of it has really been down to learn by doing. We do our best to partner with the commercial arms of the business. We do take pride in understanding what our business is looking to achieve, what the strategy is, and what our customers are going to be, what our customers are going to be excited by, what our customers need at whatever point in time. So I probably can't overstate that kind of curiosity, I suppose, and that real focus on what's going to be the art of the possible. That's really where the best ideas are going to come from. So that's probably one thing. The other thing, I suppose, don't be afraid to get your toes wet, I suppose, to dip your toes in for all the talk that we had about governance before. Don't be afraid to factor in some time to go from a proof of concept to a proof of value. Really take whatever opportunities you can to build excitement within your organization for those use cases might be. This is probably going to sound like quite generic advice, I suppose, but I think it's really key whether it's real-time use cases you're looking at or anything else for analytics professionals. Really build your network, both within your own organizations as well as outside your network. You never know when an informal chat with someone at a conference or over a coffee could lead you to an idea that helps you think about, I think this is something we could try within our own organization. And then within your own organization, you want to build those networks so that when you have those ideas, you're going to have sponsors there, you're going to have people there that really believe in you and are going to be willing to speak up for you. And help ensure that you have a voice in the room.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. With technology moving so fast, Andre, what emerging trends do you anticipate that are going to shape the future of real-time analytics?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's probably two things that that really spring to mind when you mention that. The first one is cybersecurity. That's something that we all have to think about and be vigilant about. There's obviously plenty of examples in Australia and overseas of organisations where hackers or other, you know, nefarious operators have been able to cause a significant amount of damage. But really, to keep very front of mind that mindset of the experience we can offer any customers is only going to be, it's predicated on trust, I suppose. And if you don't get those basic settings right, you know, similar to what we talked about with data governance, where customers aren't going to trust their interactions with you, well, you're dead in the water. You're done before you begin. So I think that's really something to be ever vigilant about. And it's, you know, whether it's real-time analytics or whatever other technology use cases you have, making sure that you can ensure that you can provide that experience in a safe environment that's going to maintain trust with your customers, I think is really key. The other one that's a bit more analytics specific is generative AI. We've obviously seen the rise of tools like ChatGPT, obviously for text, and you know, a range of different image and video generation tools. Those tools are getting faster as well. And so being able to stay closer to the cutting edge of not all obviously going to be in a position where we're actually developing those tools, but thinking about how we can operationalize them to provide the best possible experiences for our own teams as well as for our customers, I think are really the two things that would probably be at the forefront of my thinking.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that, Andre. Was there anything else that you feel would be relevant to share with the listeners around real-time analytics or those that might be embarking on the journey that we haven't covered already?
No, look, I think that was a pretty broad-ranging discussion. You certainly challenged me a few times to think on my feet, so that was great. But no, but otherwise, I suppose, yeah, the main thing that, the curiosity and the critical thinking mindset, I think, are probably the two real key things that I'd say to take away.
Thank you very much. And thank you so much for sharing some specific examples, because I think it really helps the listeners sort of get some context around what you're sharing and what strategies and advice you're providing or your opinion on how things have worked. Because when you talk sort of quite generically, it can be quite difficult to kind of see how that materializes. Yeah, absolutely. So thank you so much for that. And I've really enjoyed learning a bit more about real-time analytics, Andre, and really appreciate your time today.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Rena.